Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you all here this morning. A little bit of frost on the pumpkin this morning, huh? Yeah, we shouldn't be surprised. It is October, people, and this is Michigan. So I heard the snow is predicted. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you on a Sunday morning. Although, that's right, it is, Lindsay just mentioned, it has snowed in the UP already. So it's a coming, folks. It's a coming. My name is Deacon Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon who hangs out here doing life and fun stuff with all of you folks. At this church that loves to know God, love God, and serve God, we do that in a variety of ways. Today you got some bonus material in your bulletin. So in addition to the connection card, which we would greatly appreciate you filling out, you'll also find a name tag. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a second. We have prayer cards in the pews. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, this is a praying congregation. So please fill one of those out, and we will make sure that it gets to the proper folks. This morning, we are being assisted in worship by Carol Kaputska and Marty Beck, and fabulous, fabulous music by Bill. Lindsay and I just said we could listen to that all morning. That doesn't mean our sermon's not going to be good, but we'd still listen to the music all morning. If you haven't already left for Sunday school, I'm looking. I don't see any little ones. I'm hoping they're already downstairs having fun like they do every Sunday morning. I have three real quick announcements. The first is that we are doing college care packages again. They're sending them off to students. They want to get them there before Thanksgiving, you know, those last few days before break. They're getting especially homesick up there. And so they're looking for some specific things. We need combos, Dove chocolate, Kind bars, Laffy Taffy, Orbit gum, Snickers, Starburst, Smarties, tea, and Tootsie Rolls.
And toothbrushes.
And toothbrushes, yeah. Woo! This list will be out in the community room. I know I went through it really fast, but it's out in the community room, and you can get a chance to look that over and see what you might contribute to make our college kids feel like they're still connected here. The other thing that was in your bulletin was a name tag. I just want to say, as representing a certain age group in the church, this is not because we can't remember. It's because we should remember each other's names. And so this is an opportunity for us to be sure that we can address people by name. Research has shown the most beautiful sound to a human's ears is the sound of their own name. So if you would please take a moment and make out that tag if you haven't already, or on Sunday mornings, there's always a basket full of them and some colorful markers. Get creative. Where's Bruce? Is he sitting in here right now? Bruce always wears his name tag upside down so people will comment on it. Carolyn Combs wears hers sideways so people walk up to her and do this to check out her name. So please, we want this to be a welcoming and open community, and so wearing a name tag is one small step you can take to make that happen. Game night is coming up at Whitmore Lake. It's the fourth Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. I was there last week. There is no pressure, people. This is not Card Sharks. So come and have fun and meet some new folks. It's a lot of fun. Those are my announcements for this morning, and so we're going to rise and sing our opening hymn, God is Here, number 660.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Dearest Jesus, we humbly come before you this morning in gratitude for all you do given in us, the beautiful creation we live in, meaningful relationships, your listening ear, and your gracious love. We pray that in our hands, your gifts will grow and multiply until no one is in need. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 14, 13 to 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening and the disciples came to them and said, "This is a deserted place and the hour is near. Send the crowd away so that they may go in the towns and buy food." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Marty, for reading the gospel lesson for us this morning. Dear church, will you join me in a word of prayer? And if you are a State fan, I am holding you deeply in my heart and in my prayers. I learned the score this morning. I didn't watch the game. I'm a Husker, so I cheer on, I guess, both Michigan and Michigan State, but State fans, you're in my heart and mind this morning. Let's be in a spirit of prayer. Oh, good and gracious God, oh God of generosity and joy, we thank you for today. We thank you for each gift that you've given us, big and small. Oh Lord, help us now to focus our minds upon what you might share with us today, whether that's through the songs that we sing or the listening of scripture or the meditation of a message or the music we hear or shared fellowship time together or just being in your sanctuary. Oh God of generosity and joy, we thank you for your love and your grace this day. In the precious, beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So a few weeks ago, John and I and the kids were in the kitchen. We were hanging out together. I was making dinner, and the kids were goofing off with some toy or another. They were sitting on the spinny chairs at the table, goofing off. And John turned on some music and some impromptu karaoke. It broke out throughout the parsonage. Quite often, there's silly dancing and silly mischief and loud singing in the parsonage. And that afternoon, we kind of danced and swayed as I was stirring the pot on the stove. I think I was making spaghetti that day. And we sang to the song, If I Had $1 Million by Bare Naked Ladies. It came on. It's a 1990s song, so if you like 1990s music, you can search it. It's a 91 song, I think, and our family was singing out in chorus, if I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, that song. I'll tell you, it was this hodgepodge chorus that was both delightfully off-key and delightfully singing at the top of our lungs, and I had never really paid attention to what the lyrics are of that song, except for that repetitive chorus comes on, and the artists are imagining what they might do if they had $1 million suddenly in their hand. And so, like an icebreaker in youth group or something, John asked the kids, "So, what would you do if you had $1 million?" Keep in mind, they're 5 and 7, right? So the responses were to buy Pokemon cards and to travel the world and to get up a hot tub for the parsonage and to buy a unicorn. Oh, all such good, delightful responses. Some are probably more attainable than others. I don't know about the unicorn, but I like the hot tub idea. And so we chit-chatted about what we do with $1 million as we kept this song on repeat, and I was listening more closely as I was stirring the spaghetti, and the artists were saying what they would do if they acquired $1 million. First on their list was to buy a house. Well, it's kind of fun, I think, to think about what would you do if suddenly you had $1 million cash in hand that you didn't have the day before? You know, what would you do if you stumbled upon $1 million? How would you use it? Would you save it? Would you spend it? Would you invest it? Would you go buy unicorns? So I'll fess up, I was the person in the family that said, I would love to travel the world. That would be what I would do. A hot tub's fun, but I would travel the world. I want to see God's creation, meet people from different cultures and countries. That's one thing I would do, but not the only thing I would do. So this morning when we turn to the Gospels, whether it's the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, it's really fascinating to see what Jesus has to say and teach us about money. It doesn't really appear that Jesus had necessarily a lot of money. He wasn't necessarily from a family of great wealth, and during his public ministry, he didn't seem to dwell among those with tremendous resources, but rather Jesus seemed to live pretty simply. Having, of course, all of the needs met in life, but not necessarily all of the wants. I wonder what Jesus' wants would be. You know, the needs and the wants of life. I try to teach my kids Pokemon cards are a want, but they're not necessarily a need. But this week, as we were thinking about, right, what would we do if $1 million stumbled upon our hands, it got me thinking, what would Jesus do if he had $1 million? Perhaps Jesus wouldn't need $1 million. I don't know. He seemed to live pretty simply, not from necessarily a place of abundance. So this morning, as Marty read the gospel lesson for us, this morning we heard a scripture. We discovered a story about hungry people. But it's so much more than just about hungry stomachs. Let's unpack this scripture. Let's think about this scripture. So they're gathered in this remote place, and the disciples approach Jesus. They make this request for the crowds that have now gathered and followed them to be dismissed because it's evening, and so it's dinner time, and there's going to be hungry stomachs among them. And Jesus denies this request, and he tells the disciples to take care of it themselves. And in the 16th verse, we hear Jesus say, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Man, Jesus is at it again, right? They've been joining him in his work of ministry. I would imagine they're tired. I would imagine they're hungry themselves, and they see this tremendous crowd, which we're going to discover is at least 5,000 men. So if they have women there and children, there could be upwards of 20,000 people there. And so the disciples get this response from Jesus, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Well, the disciples respond, and in fact, I'm thinking they're like complaining about this that Jesus is telling them, but they're giving the facts. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. So it's kind of like, you do the math, Jesus, how is this going to work out? How could they possibly have enough, let alone for the 12 disciples and Jesus, yet alone the entire crowd as they look out there? Well, in that moment, Jesus saw something that the disciples weren't able to see. He had clarity of vision, and he told the guests to then have a seat, and they grouped up into small little gatherings up on the grass, and the elements were blessed, and the miracle of sharing a simple meal of bread and fish took place. And in that moment, the gospel records for us a story about hungry stomachs being filled, yes, but it's also the story of a simple blessing that takes place, a meal that is shared, and something miraculous that takes place. From what seemed like a scarcity of resources, there was a blooming of abundance. And then so much of a blooming of abundance. In fact, the disciples discovered that there were leftovers that they could keep passing it around if they wanted to. Leftover baskets, 12 baskets to be exact. Wow. So what are we supposed to make of this miracle? What are we supposed to make of this scene in which Jesus didn't want to dismiss the crowds, but in which he held the disciples to the space there and said, nope, we're not dismissing them. Stay here. We've got work to do. And he didn't dismiss them and instead said, you're supposed to feed the hungry crowd. What are we supposed to make of this gospel story? Some say, I agree, some might say it became the greatest potluck feast ever to be recorded. That adding to those 5 loaves of bread and those 2 fish, that somebody decided to say, hey, here's a loaf of bread I can contribute. And then someone else said, hey, here's four more fish. And then that inspired others gathered around, and soon 10 more loaves showed up and another dozen stinky fish were appeared. And until, wouldn't you know it, every single hungry stomach was fed, and it was the most tremendous potluck feast that you've ever seen that can far outbeat any United Methodist potluck we've ever done here to record. Oh, but the salad luncheon is amazing. So, feeding the 5,000 in the salad luncheon, that's a good example, right? Because everybody reached into their bags and started sharing what bread they had, and pretty soon everyone was filled, every stomach was fed. And so the disciples, they started out this story, I think, with this scarcity mindset. Being fearful that they wouldn't have enough food. They turned to logic. We have 5 loaves of bread and we have 2 fish. But then things shifted into an experience of abundance. From fear to faith to full stomachs, the story progressed. From minimal resources to a grand illustration of generosity, the story unfolded. And so when the disciples focused upon what they had, rather than focusing on what they what could be, they had it backwards. But then they shifted, right? The disciples focused on giving, and they focused on having enough, and they focused on contributing, and they focused on generosity, and things turned out beautifully. And I'm guessing people gave what they had, even if it didn't really seem like that much. And when they put it all together, there was more than enough. I mean, it's true, they did. They started out with five loaves and two fish, not a ton of resources, but that didn't stop Jesus from seeing what was possible. That didn't limit the disciples on what they could do. Once they caught Jesus' vision of generosity, something that seemed impossible was more than possible. And just given a few loaves of bread here and given a few fish there, everybody reached in, pulled out, the meal was blessed, it was multiplied, and there was this transformation of abundance. Isn't that the most amazing story? From this scarcity mindset, thinking we don't have enough, that their mind was transformed into abundance. So it makes me think about that song, "If I Had $1 Million." We don't have to have $1 Million before we can do something impactful. We can have two fish and five loaves of bread. We don't have to have $1 million before we can feed a hungry crowd. And we don't have to have $1 million before we think our efforts are going to be worthwhile. They simply gave alongside a whole bunch of other folks that afternoon or evening. Their resources were added together. It was multiplied, and it turned out to this great potluck feast. You get where I'm going, church? Doesn't take $1 million to do something grand. It only takes vision and faith and sharing of the blessings that you've received from God, knowing that everything we have is truly a gift from God. And it takes stepping forward with a willing heart. Perhaps that song, "If I Had $1 Million," is this really good tune to dance along to and sing along to, but it shouldn't limit our way of thinking. When we pull out 5 cents in our pockets, God can bless and multiply it. Or if we share a $5,000 check with the church, God can multiply it. It doesn't take $1 million to start living and giving generously from our lives. It takes vision and faith, sharing of what we've already been received from God, and stepping forward with a willing heart. When we think about this gospel story, every gift mattered. It wouldn't have happened unless everybody stepped forward and every gift mattered. And so when I think about how we do mission and ministry here at First UMC and impacting our congregation and in our community and impacting the state and throughout the United States and around the world, when I think about how we do mission and ministry here, every hour of volunteerism and a servant heart that you step forward matters and makes a difference. Every prayer you lift up to in somebody's behalf matters and makes a difference. Every time you reach out and care and concern for somebody, it matters and makes a difference. Every financial gift that you share, whether it's 5 cents that clinks into the offering plate, or it's a check written, or it's an online gift that's given, matters and it makes a difference, because when our gifts are multiplied, it becomes like fish and bread, and we can feed hungry crowds of 20,000. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing of your resources, sharing of your time and your talents. Thank you for being a part of the impact for Jesus Christ. For the $50 you give every year, thank you. For the $5,000 gift you give, thank you. For the $35,000 gift, thank you. Every gift matters when we share generously from our hearts. It's amazing to see what God can do in our community and how lives can be impacted and changed. To God be the glory for beautiful visions and tremendous ministries and the ways you share and serve and impact like those disciples. And sometimes we might be hesitant, but when we catch Jesus' vision, anything is possible. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, to God be the glory, great things you have done. Oh, Lord, transform our hearts and minds that sometimes we doubt or we aren't able to see, like the disciples, we can relate to them. Lord, but how could 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish really make an impact? But when we share our part, it's added and it's multiplied, Lord, and pretty soon a great feast is prepared. So this day, help us to live and give generously. Help us to serve compassionately and help us to share your love in the world as we seek to follow in your footsteps. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. As we enter into a time of prayer, as you know, when I do my prayer, I usually share with you how I came up with it. So during this sermon series, Multiplied, I have been thinking about how normally when I think of multiply, I think of it in a negative term, I guess. So for example, yesterday, and lately, I've been thinking about how things like wrinkles, gray hair, all of those aches and pains seem to multiply. And poor Lonnie, my significant other, as we were driving yesterday, I turned to him in one of my grateful, thought patterns, and I said, he knows how old I am, I said, How old would you say I am? If you just walked up and saw me, what would you guess my age to be? And God love him, he made a wonderful statement of 30-something. And then later on, we had a conversation about how I feel like my I can't do this, I can't do that, have been multiplying. And he was giving me my probably daily pep talk about how we should think positively on things that we can do and multiply those thoughts. And when I was coming up with this prayer, I was thinking about how we multiply things in our prayers, how we positively multiply our thoughts, and particularly when we pray together in this community, as we take one small need that someone may have or one small request for prayers, and we bring it to this congregation or to our many groups that pray together, and they multiply those positive thoughts and ideas and caring statements. And that is how I came up with my prayer today. So please join me in an attitude of prayer. Dear God, for your glory, we pray today as we are exploring the theme multiplied. All the ways that we can take what we have and be generous to others and watch that generosity multiply. Help us to find all those ways in which we can be generous, all those ways that we can give of our time, gifts, spirit, words. There are so many that don't have to include money. And what may seem like a small portion or a meager help can start a ripple that will be multiplied by your hands. Today we pray for Dick Barkas, Raina Norman, and Hudson, for they receive our prayer quilts. And today as we pray, those prayers will be multiplied for them as they receive these quilts that they will cover themselves with. As we look around and see the things that need to be done, all the places that need help, guide us to search within ourselves as to how we may be of service. Help to shape our generosity. Help us to see even the smallest moments where we can be generous, and in all the ways, for it may be a gift of our time, a gift of our peace and comfort. It may be an actual idea that spreads into so much more, a ripple effect where we could hold the stone that starts it. In our country today, there are so many situations that at this exact moment need large gifts of generous prayer and support. Homelessness, joblessness, addiction, hate, physical harm, war, unrest. Help us to not get caught up in admiring the problem and saying to ourselves, something needs to be done, but move us toward the statement that this is what I'm going to do. There are so many moving parts that get overwhelming, but God, you can guide us to do our part and how we can move towards solving those problems, how to fit ourselves in. Our thanks is never ending. We take this time to give it words because some of those generous moments are surprising. Sometimes kindness and generosity sneaks up on us and we don't take the time right then to thank. So we do it now. We thank you for bringing those special people into our lives, for bringing those moments to us, for seeing what we need when we need it, and for bringing us those generous ninjas. Thank you for moving in our hearts. We give ourselves to you, knowing that in doing that, we no longer need to worry about not having enough for ourselves. But we can give freely because it will be multiplied. For in loving you, We become a part of a community that gives and gets when needed. We are partners with each other, helping when we need and asking for help when we need it. And now let's pray for our own personal prayers silently. And now let's come out of the silence to join our voices by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It's a great joy this morning to invite forward Tara Ruiz. She and her husband, Ramon, have three wonderful children, and Tara serves as our preschool board chair. So Tara, thank you for being with us this morning to share a little bit about your testimony, about your story. Thank you. Can speak. Have to speak right into the microphone for it to pick up.
My name is Tara Ruiz, and I'm speaking on behalf of my family and I this morning. Ramon and I became official members of First United back in 2017. In that short time, a lot has changed. We probably are one church with two campuses. We've gained two amazing pastors. We went through a couple different children's ministry directors. We got through COVID. We've had a lot of growth in our congregation, adult and youth. New members, lots of new class offerings, remodeling in the building. So much has changed. In that time, one thing that I've noticed that has not changed is our choice to come together as a church to multiply. Multiplying our generosity and our gifts. In doing so, we're able to grow in knowing God and in loving God and serving God. And with that, we pour that not only into our local community, but so much further. I hear this song on the radio a lot, and if any of you listen to Smile FM, you'll know what song I'm talking about. I'm going to share a verse from a song by Corey Ashbery. And if you listen to the words carefully, it's a good reminder that God always has a plan for us. And he's always there to help us with our worry. The first verse of the song says, "The sparrow's not to worry about tomorrow or the troubles to come. The lily's not thinking about the seasons, the drought, or the flood. A tree's planted by the water isn't fazed by the fire. So why should I be?" And I hear the lyrics of the song, and it really hits home. Our church is highly involved in outreach in so many different ways. And because of your generosity as a church, the hearts of many lives are touched. And personally, I'm really grateful for that. So just remember, God always has a plan for us. So please pray about how God wants you all to multiply and how to share that with others. Thank you.
Thank you, Tara. It is indeed a congregation that thrives on reaching out to others and to multiplying the love that we have found in Jesus with those outside who may or may not have felt that love before. So I would invite the ushers to come forward at this time to continue the generous ministries that we have at this church. It takes you. And so the old joke about we have enough money to cover all the bills in the budget, the bad news is it's still in your pockets. I know, it's a bad one. It's a bad one. Go ahead. I didn't start it, I promise. But it is true that it is through your generosity that this church has become what it is. And we're proud to be a part of that.
God, provider of all that we have, accept the offerings we give today. Guide us using them to build disciples for you. Guide us in contemplating the gifts may grow to serve you in miraculous ways.
Dear church, as you found in your bulletin or was passed out with you by the ushers, you found this little yellow card. It's a part of our wall art in the sanctuary, in the community room there. It's a part of wheat, that growing image of the wheat as we think about how we can multiply and we can grow. So this week's question you can write down on your little wheat chaff there is, how is God calling you to grow in your generosity and in your giving? God's calling me to add a number, the number of fishes and loaves that we're sharing, metaphorically speaking. Together we can multiply and transform this world. So church, may you go forth with the love of God in your hearts, the peace of Jesus always with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit. May you go forth this day to love God and to serve neighbor. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.